following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey,
everybody, I'm Michael.
And Jimmy's going to repeat at UW. And it's nice to be here today. And I got to get all my 10,001 breath at one time.
And down in Vancouver.
I'm back on the weed. It's Martin, West Coast, California sober. Let's do it.
Hello, listener. We are your real debaters. Welcome to Where the Art of Cinema Meets the Power of Debate. Thank you for tuning into another episode. And thank you even more if this is your first time and you've chosen us to kill an hour and a half with. This week on the show, we got a bracket for you. This one is Jimmy's baby, so I'm just going to shut up and let you explain how this came about.
Because I'm sure I saw it in somebody's tweet somewhere, and they were talking about if Mike from Breaking Bad could survive a saw trap, and that got me thinking, what other... Yeah, Airman Trout, if he could survive a saw trap, I personally think yes, but that got me thinking, what other characters could survive a saw trap, or which ones would be funny to see in a saw trap?
And then why would they even fucking be there?
Exactly. So and why would they be there today?
So we got a backstory for you, we got a reason why, we got eight characters. Charles couldn't unfortunately be here, so we're going to proxy for him with his two. We're going to do another bracket, and each round we've pre-selected eight known,
fun
unknown,
little saw traps.
Fun little... Cute little saw traps.
We got a wheel.
We did it. We figured it out, so we don't have to waste your time while we're doing
built
it.
One.
Traps.
Yes, exactly. And Martin did make a point while we were talking about this that I think everybody we've kind of picked has some high level of toughness.
Oh yeah,
if it doesn't make sense, right, Martin?
Durability.
Yeah.
Well, you don't go into a saw trap expecting to not lose a limb.
No. No, it's you gotta be real with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I'm gonna lose something.
You know, Michael Cera, you know.
And then we do have some fan picks that we got this week. Thank you to our fans.
We got a whole
here.
Bunch.
We got a bunch, and at the end of it, we're gonna throw some of those fan picks out and see how they would fare in maybe some of these traps, or even why they would be there, whichever's funnier. But before we get to it, we want to tell you some stuff that we're doing, some stuff that happens in our orbit. So let's talk about us
for
a second.
Let's talk about us,
Jimmy. You've got some new things happening at the Handsome Daughter.
Boy, do we, Michael. We're back at the Handsome Daughter. We're back doing open mic comedy. We just had our first successful one on the March 7th. It was fantastic. It's no more chicken, Martin. It's actually hot dogs. They have rebranded after...
Are they not doing chicken?
Nope, they are done with chicken. Unfortunately, their fryer went, and this is just...
They pivoted.
It's something that they've done in the past and something that they've always talked about bringing back, and now it's finally just the right time, and I'll tell you, it's just...
I love wieners.
I love a fucking good hot dog.
It's a Nathan's hot dog, you said too, right?
That's right, it's a Nathan's hot dog.
What do they put on the hot dog, Jimmy, when he got...
They got Chicago style, they got a Seattle style dog.
They got a Manitoba style dog.
They've got anything you can fucking think of. They got pierogies as a side. Looks so much nicer in there. I don't know if you know this, Michael, they got a Foo Fighters pinball machine in there. It's absolutely wonderful. But it feels like there's 10 members of that goddamn band.
I just had to pick
band.
My job off the floor.
It's absolutely wonderful. They're going to be adding a few more games. The menu's been fantastic. It's just been such a success so far. We did a hot dog eating contest on the 6th, massively successful, absolutely disgusting, and we're just very proud that everybody came out and watched. But yeah, we had open mic on Thursday. We're going to be doing another one April 4th. Those will be monthly. We're doing a booked show on the 21st. It'll be comics reading jokes that they wrote for each other. So it's Michael Che, Colin Jost.
Colin Jost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be pretty fucked up. We're going to have comics that we like saying horrible, horrible things that they don't want to say.
That's awesome.
That's on the 21st.
Like, you know, I'm going to put it out there right now. We were asked at Scott Pilgrim Bingo what our next movie would be, and then Jimmy was like, well, what would you guys like to watch? So how about you tell us what movie you want to watch and eat some hot dogs at the Handsome Daughter, and then next month when we have a minute, maybe it'll be a dog-themed movie? you want to do Roll Over Beethoven?
Classic Charles Grodin.
Right. Classic Charles Grodin.
Oh, yeah.
We'll tie it in somehow. We'll have some sort of dog theme with the hot dog thing for our trivia and bingo night. But what you guys want to watch, if there's a dog theme movie you want to see, get at us, realdebaters@gmail.com, or any of our social media, which is in the link in the bio on our social media, as well as the show notes. Get at us with an idea for a movie. Anyways, in the hot dog competition,
yeah,
eating competition of hot dogs. Olympics.
We'll probably be doing that once a year.
Yeah.
Make
that
it
was
an annual
a success,
thing.
Wasn't it?
It was absolutely wonderful. We were wall to wall in there, and the people watching it, absolute sickos, had a great time.
Fucking just want to watch somebody else's displeasure.
Oh, yeah. That's half the battle.
I was really thinking about it, and you told me after, now that I know that some people did the Johnny Chess, the
Well, yeah, I was telling Michael Martin beforehand, everybody, when the competition started, they all tried to do full hot dog. They didn't do the Joey Chestnut Kobayashi style where you dip bun in water. And then as soon as one guy did it, the rest of them were like, oh, fuck, I'm going to lose if I don't do that. So they all start doing it, and it was just disgusting.
Ugh.
Yeah, truly unpleasant.
Yeah, but good time.
So you know what I learned that we might add? They do a lemonade chug at the... at the hot dog eating contest in Coney Island.
Pure lemonade, right?
Yeah, they do like a jug of lemonade that these guys have to chug really fast, too. So we might add that.
Sign me up, because you know what? A good. There's nothing that feels better than a
big
meal.
I mean, there's
meal.
One way to get cancer.
Okay. Anyway.
But you know what I mean?
Don't get your
health. I've had lemonade, and I don't have cancer.
Yeah, and we don't Google that, anybody.
No, this is Country Time lemonade. There's never been anything close to a lemon in it.
And what are we doing? What we want to tell you about is March 23rd. Mark from the show has, they've absolved the C4 Comic-Con into their caretaking. And
we're overtaking other businesses. That's how successful we are.
Yes, we are. The real bidders ain't coming at you. No, Mark, due to some personal stuff with Cobra Collectibles and everything, Mark and Troy at Stringbean Comics have taken over this year, and they're going to run it and see if they can keep it going.
Yeah.
And we're going to be at the Kubota Center, 1055 Wilkes. Times to be announced the week before. So the week before the con, we'll let you know what time we're going to be there. So you can show up. You can ask us questions about how we make a podcast, and we'll tell you the truth. We fucking don't know most of the time. And you can come on the show and talk to us about collectibles and comic books and lore and your favorite movie prop that you would want to have in your home. Like, just anything that has to do with being at a con. It's a super community-based one. It's from 10 to 6. It's $5 at the door. There's tables, sold out tables. So there's going to be tons of vendors there.
There's tables there?
There's tables and chairs and lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
And it's going to be a very animal themed con. I'm talking out my ass at this point. Anyways, listener, thank you for putting up with our ranting about what we're doing, what we're all about here. Let's get into the show. Let's step off this moral coil. Jimmy, what'd you watch this week?
Let's get it, Jimmy.
What have I been watching, Michael? Well, our favorite things have come back to television.
They have.
Everybody, Love is Blind happened a month ago.
Fuck
Everybody's
it.
Been loving Love is Blind,
yeah.
But we've jumped into our favorite programming. Thank you, CBS, so much for putting Big Brother Canada back on the air.
God,
I guess that's global, but
whatever.
CBS does Survivor as well. And
yeah.
We are just so thankful and so happy that
it's
they're
back. It's the
cream
back. Of the crop of reality TV. Big Brother.
I want
Survivor.
A competition show. I don't care if these people fall in love. I want to see them betray each other.
Don't need showmance.
That's it. Well, you know, one or two is kind of nice.
So I think we're both, you're 1 week in because I'm 2 weeks in.
Yeah, it's just the first week so far. Sunday's elimination day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday is premiere night? Is that how yours works?
Yeah, they do Wednesday, Thursday, and then Sunday.
Okay, I just get Wednesday to Wednesday to Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah.
You fool.
I know. No, I don't get these extra.
But you get an hour and a half, mine are an hour.
That's true. I do. I
so I think
Mark
it all
Burnett
adds up.
Fought, and then, well, how's premiere of Big Brother?
Oh, you know, the premiere.
Because you were kind of bitching about it earlier.
It feels like they're trying to go the American route where they've maybe gotten a lot more money through sponsors and whatnot. And
sure, yeah.
It's a $100,000 grand prize. Love that. What other Canadian game show does that? You know, you go on Supermarket Sweep, you win a fucking microwave. Phenomenal. It's just not the same.
No, you can get some oboes or buttholes.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Glass half full, glass half empty.
So I like that. I'm so happy that there's great sponsors and that they have an excellent prize. And
yep.
They're really not shameless at all about the sponsors. They're like, we've literally put a Wendy's in the house. We don't care anymore. And, you know, they do shark products and all this bullshit.
Jimmy, put a Wendy's question. In the house?
They Are have an serious? Actual fucking Wendy's
That's
in there.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's like, amazing.
I'm not
wait
kidding.
Wait a minute. Is it like free? You just get whatever you want?
No, so whoever the head of household is gets to order Wendy's with one other person, but there's a physical Wendy's in the house.
That's insane.
That's so.
Also, that's insane that the head of household gets that.
Oh, it's an extra treat for them.
Yeah, like, okay.
Two meals.
And you get to pick one person.
So, but like, sorry, go on.
The premiere episode I don't really like because it's just a lot of intros and promos, and how they, it's just a full hour of intros, and they're all saying the same thing. You know, like, I want to win. I'm excited to be here. Yeah. You know, no one's going to stop me. I'll stab you in the back. I might have sex with this person. And it's just, it's all, I was telling Michael, it just seems like that they're bringing on too many super fans. And I like when there's a couple of super fans, or even when maybe five or six, but when the whole cast of 14 people is super fans,
yeah,
it makes it a little less interesting to me. Big Brother's whole motto is expect the unexpected, and all of these people are able to expect everything.
It's
because
like
they've seen,
you know,
every
what?
Season.
They should hire more train wrecks.
That's
that's what Jimmy was
just
saying.
Just hire train wrecks.
That's
what
I mean.
Like,
bring people on.
That reality one was like Jersey Shore, all train wrecks.
Exactly.
Look how popular that was.
Well, they brought someone on from Selkirk, and I thought that was a nice little change. I have someone to root
Speaking
for this season. Speaking of train wrecks, I'm glad that I have someone to root for.
Yeah.
Because a lot
like,
of
grounds the show for you.
It does.
Transcona in this.
Oh dear God, China. That'd be dangerous.
Like, are we responsible to have to cheer for them, or can we be like, no, they got to be from St.
But that's
B,
what
or...
people want
to
see.
That's true.
Well, yeah. See, we got to have them on the show after
I
the
love,
season's over.
I'm not fucking Wheeler. We love everybody from every part of Winnipeg.
Well done.
Point is, though, Big Brother is just too commercialized now? Is that what you're saying?
It feels like it. There's just so much extra editing instead of letting the show flow, because it's a hidden camera. Well, they're not hidden, but it's a camera show where everything is recorded.
Multicam.
Just show us those parts. That's all we need to see. We don't need to see your crazy editing. We don't need to see you trying to make people look worse than they actually are. It's just enough.
How are the people so far? Have you found somebody to lock onto that has given you kind of... besides Selkirk?
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to stray too far away from Selkirk. I think rooting there is nice, and she seems great. And
do you know of her? Do you?
You know, I don't. I thought I was going to, but I read.
But the odds are in your favor.
That's what I thought, too, because, small town, everybody knows each other, but I don't recognize her at all. Wish I did. We'll have her on the show.
We should.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. You just hit that hometown Skinner's.
That's Lockport, Mike.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
God.
Sorry, my inner lake is all off today. Martin, are you going to watch it at all based on Jimmy's glowing review?
Hell no. No, I don't dig Big Brother. It's not one of the things that I like to watch. Survivor, I would if I had it, but Big Brother's just... I mean, if I was on the show, I'd be like, I couldn't book the extra days off work, so I'm just going to get voted off the first
That's
day.
That's what I mean. How do these people get that time off?
My pitch would be like, I will take a shit on live TV.
Yeah, no, I firmly believe that they have to...
Martin, you got to close the door when you go to the bathroom. They're not going to like that.
I'm taking it on the kitchen table.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Right on
part,
the kitchen
part
table.
It's part of his gameplay.
They're going to vote you out, man.
I'm in.
I'm going to shit in the Wendy's.
I like to shit in the Wendy's bathroom. No,
you want a Frosty? I'll give you a Frosty.
Give me all wild cards. You know how Jimmy, the open mic, you're like, I'm not sure what this guy's going to say. He might say this, might say that. It could be bad. I want all those open micers on Big Brother.
Oh, my
That's
God.
What I want.
You should apply. We should all apply next year. It'll
there
be great.
There should be a Big Brother theme one season. Like Big Brother comedians.
No.
Or Big Brother.
It's a bad idea.
And then they get a prize in their industry. Like Big Brother architects.
I don't know.
Big Brother bakers.
Do you remember Stereo Guy Jimmy? Put him on Big Brother.
Jesus Christ. He would love that too much, I think.
Is the same dynamic there where it's like they're going to have the villains and they're going to have
absolutely.
Have the
absolutely.
Dumbasses. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There's plenty of dudes that go on there and are just absolute potato brain.
Potential, what do you give it? How many potato brain? How many Mr. Potato Heads do you give it?
From the first two episodes?
How many shits on a kitchen table would you do?
Yeah, there you go. I like that one better.
How many shits on the kitchen table? So far, maybe a 4 or 5.
Really? Okay.
But you know, first two episodes, I'm still getting to know every contestant and figuring out who I like and who's going to be a big turd. And...
Yeah, totally.
So I'll find
a big turd on the kitchen table.
I'll find him. For now, we're going to stick in home roots and root for Selkirk and see what happens.
You have my vote, Selkirk. Martin, I'm sure, votes for you as well, too. The real debaters are behind Selkirk.
See, we got to get
Canada
on there.
This year.
Me and Martin get on there next year, and we don't tell anybody that we know each other.
Yeah. You know how hard that would be to pull off?
Both just simultaneously drop trowel, squat on the kitchen table, and just
We're not
it.
Taking dumps. We're going
to
win.
He wants to dump. Let him dump. Let them shit in the corn chowder. Who fucking cares?
We're here to win $100,000, Martin.
I'm here to win a shark vacuum.
Just wait till and eat it, Wendy.
Hey, dude, I have that vacuum. It's a good vacuum.
It's a good vacuum.
It's way better than Dyson.
It's no Dyson ball.
Even Dyson's
that
after a while.
That was the pinnacle of vacuum technology. Well, he said so himself.
Okay, we can debate the art of suction later. I'm sure we can find movies to talk about that suck more than the Dyson. But okay, cool. Yeah, Martin, what'd you put away?
I started watching the new Netflix series, The Gentlemen, from Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, it is. It's Guy Ritchie. He's involved in it, isn't he?
He's directing it. So, oh, did you hear that?
What was that?
My phone just went off because it thought I was asking it a question.
You call your phone The Gentleman?
Hello,
hey, gentlemen.
Gentlemen. It's a British lady. No, it's pretty good. Like, I don't know what happened with Guy Ritchie. Like, all of a sudden, he did this thing where I'm just going to do action movies. Do you know what I mean? Like, he used to do, like, British gangster movies. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm just going to do lots of stuff with shooting and swords and action.
Maybe more money.
I think it's, yeah, I wasn't a fan of all that, like, his deviation from what he knew.
You mean you didn't love Aladdin?
That's a Guy Ritchie movie?
It's Guy Ritchie.
You're lying.
Are you serious?
Pull it. Pull it right now.
Keep going, Martin. God. You're a liar.
Pull it. Listener, we can wait for them to find out I'm right. It's fine.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God.
That is your rock hard moment of the show, listener.
I don't get it. I don't. But
yeah, like pretty, yeah, I know. I don't know how to explain it either. I don't know. Well, money, obviously, right?
That
doesn't make any sense.
I have nothing to say about that. That's boggled my mind.
Does it make you hate him now and you don't want to watch The Gentleman anymore?
He wrote it, too.
I don't.
Like,
how do you rewrite
Aladdin?
Yeah, like how does that work?
How do you write a fairy tale?
Well, no, because it
already
exists.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you do exactly?
You add maybe new dialogue.
Was Vinnie Jones in it?
No, Vinnie Jones I don't think was in it. Vinnie Jones was Jafar. I mean, what am I talking about?
What the fuck? What is a Guy Ritchie Aladdin? I don't even want to. I can't even wrap my head around it. I never wanted to see that, but now I kind of want to see it to see what he did. Vinnie
Jones. Yeah, no, that
like,
Will Smith,
some from
Guy Ritchie,
East London or anything?
Yeah. Capote.
It's tripping me out, man, Mike.
Sorry. I didn't mean to ruin The Gentleman for you, but that's not all you can think about.
Okay, well, I'll talk about The Gentleman. The positive thing is it goes back to his roots of, you know, British gangsters. And
yeah.
It's based on the movie The Gentleman, but in the movie, your protagonist was like Matthew McConaughey, right? He's like the main character who's like the drug dealer kind of boss or whatever.
Yeah.
This one focuses more on like the lords and ladies who like – who the weed plantations, they're on their property.
Oh, like the underground plantations. Yeah.
So it focuses on like one family who like has a weed plantation in their property. It's got some, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's been on, like, the main character's been on some.
Theo.
Oh, I know the guy's
Theo
name.
Something.
He was in The White Lotus.
No, the guy's name was Richie.
Wasn't he also in Divergent or something as well?
You missed that, Martin. But I caught, he's like, I know that guy. His name was Richie.
That's what you get.
Oh, Jimmy. Please write more jokes. No, but it's good. It's got like, it's you know, going back to his roots of gangster, like, you know, UK gangsters, which I like. It's got Vinnie Jones, which I also love. Like, he's in it. He's a main character.
It's got some, I'll bring it up here.
And it's got Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah.
As playing the American role in this, because, you know, there's always one American in Guy Ritchie movies. Giancarlo Esposito is the American.
He's in everything now.
Gus Fring.
So far, I enjoy it. It's got some funny. It's got the funny quirks in a Guy Ritchie movie. A lot of the dialogue in a Guy Ritchie movie, that the back and forth dialogue, which I like. So,
it's just quick.
I'm only
it's
like
nice.
Three episodes in. I think I'm not too far into it, but I'm three episodes liking it so far.
It's also got Theo James. Theo James is who you're thinking of.
The other thing to watch was Napoleon.
You know shit. No, you're thinking of Theo James. That's who the lead is, right? Yeah. He was in White Lotus. He shot something here. How it ends? He shot that with Forest Whitaker here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. This looked, as soon as I saw that his name was on it, Martin, I was happy because I'm like, okay, somebody didn't steal this and try to run with it. Yeah. It's his baby.
He's doing a show on it, and it's a different. It's the same premise as the movie, but a different story. So you won't get like the exact same thing. There's like. It's got elements of a Guy Ritchie movie, like, you know, there's always like the big scary gangster There's the there's always some sort of American involved.
Yeah, all the pieces. Yeah.
There's the people who just get caught in the middle of everything, which is the main character usually. They're just kind of caught in the middle of what's going on.
Main character syndrome.
Yeah.
So what's...
Lots of weed in it.
Didn't the movie just come out like maybe 6 years ago?
Less than.
Yeah.
Less than that?
About that.
So why do a show so soon after?
Popularity?
The movie was so popular.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
good.
Cool.
I like The Gentleman. That was
I
good
love
movie.
The Gentleman.
I really enjoyed it.
I like Colin Farrell.
Fuck off. Fuck off. No, his name's Fuck Off. No, that whole scene in the movie when Colin Farrell's fighting in the burger joint,
yeah.
the chicken shack or whatever
oh,
the
fantastic.
Fuck it is. It's so fantastic.
It's in here in the gray.
Well, you know what, though? And like, I always want more Guy Ritchie after I'm done getting that. Like,
you didn't
you know,
get enough.
I never get enough. Is like, even, you know.
Well, now we do. We have a show.
What, the Sword in the Stone one that he did.
Oh, Arthur?
Arthur. I fucking love, I love everything
I
he does.
I didn't like it. I hated it.
No, I was totally down with it. I love The Giant Snake. I love Jude Law.
That
I
one he did with the Blue Genie.
The blue.
Can I?
Where he farted into
I
a flame?
That
is that
movie.
What you're talking about?
What was it?
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Am I insane or is Charlie Hunnam not a good actor?
No, you're not insane.
Okay. Why does he keep getting cast in shit?
Probably because
he's got like a nice
great
guy,
agent.
But he's so bad.
Yeah, there,
every
there,
time I
you
see
go.
Him in a movie,
he's,
like, oh
guy's
my
got
God.
A great agent.
Everything I've seen him in outside of being Jax in Sons of Anarchy.
You couldn't pick Jason Statham to be Arthur and give him a wig or something? I don't know.
I know. It was a really weird play to have a Charlie Hunnam in it with everybody else like
I liked
playing
him.
Next to Hugh Grant. I just felt it was, I don't know.
He's acting so bad.
Yeah. I liked him in Pacific Rim.
Okay, fair enough. But again,
I mean, that wasn't, you would have watched
but
that
I get, yeah, I don't think it's because
dialogue.
Of him.
I'd
no,
like
that's
you,
a good point.
I'd like you in Pacific Rim.
Thank
like,
you. I mean, that's really nice.
You know, watch you stomp around.
I just
a
need
giant
a twin.
Robot.
The Kaiju and Idris Elba pulled that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The lore in there. So, okay. All right. And lots of weed, too, you said, because it's all based on.
Lots of weed, nice. Lots of funny, quirky moments with gangsters, like, you know, like.
It's just
deaths,
good dialogue. Yeah.
Just deaths that aren't great, that good for you.
So very Snatch, very
Lock
Stock.
Very Lock Stock.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you like The Gentleman, Snatch and Lock Stock, like, you know, those are, that's his bread and butter, that
yeah.
genre. You're gonna like The Gentleman.
How many Charlie Hunnams do you give it out of 10?
Oh my God. As I said, I'm still only 3 episodes in, so I'm probably give it like a 7 and
all right,
and a half
yeah.
for now.
Okay.
Sweet. I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah.
I
like my. If you're looking for a gangster fix, you know that genre.
Yeah,
check out the Gentleman.
I'll mainline it, love it.
What did you watch, Michael?
Oh, thanks for asking, Jimmy. Well, you mentioned it, and I'll bookend it to it. So you're in the interior reality competition.
I'm an inside boy.
You're an inside cat. I'm an outside. I'm an inside cat too, but I'm an outside cat with my reality television.
He sits by the window.
Yeah, I do. I do, just licking myself, cleaning my beard, hawking up fur balls.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, no. It's my Saturday. No, I'm watching Survivor. Survivor just premiered, and this Survivor's good. I think it's better. Like, the last two Survivors have been great because they got the extended to 2-hour window.
The director's cut.
The director's cut of Survivor.
Yeah, Jeff
Probst's
director's
cut. It's he's more into it, which makes us more into it, the viewer. Right?
Yeah.
If he's having a good
time.
Well,
it's his baby.
It's a science project. It's never going to be anything else but a science project disguised as a reality television. The amount of data they have on the human condition that would scare us. It would scare. It's very. That data is the data they collected in Westworld. I'm getting off topic. So
Jeff Probst has a PhD in starvation.
Yeah. He knows how to make people almost die week after week. The cast this year is really interesting. They've got a great spread. There's a lot of Canadians on it. I think
Weird.
There's 4 Canadians
do
on it.
Do they do that often?
They're doing it more. I think it's been 7 seasons to 10 seasons, somewhere in the 7 to 10 range where they started allowing Canadians to come on. So now that you know they're Canadian, it's like, yay, everybody from Toronto got picked, but still, we'll cheer for them, right?
That's what they always fucking say and
right?
do, isn't it?
Right? It's like, you know, you...
Canada's a pretty fucking big landmass guy.
Selkirk could be on Survivor, Jeff, just saying.
You like, give them a pack of smokes, they'll last the whole
fuck,
fucking
no
year.
No kidding. So that's really great to see a lot of homegrown talent on it. I really enjoy their new style of filming because they do these cold opens where they take a portion of the show and play it for you for like 5 minutes, and then you get into the
exactly.
show. Right?
It's a good reminder.
It's a great reminder. It's a great recap. They've got a lot of musical interludes going on that
telling you
funny.
How to feel.
Telling you exactly how to feel, right? Like if it wasn't there, you'd just be like, fuck. But you
I
know,
hate it.
Put somebody in a cave staring off into the wild blue yonder. You can't put on Metallica. Like it'll just feel wrong.
Have right? a man bash his skull on the first day and then leave him there for hours.
Oh, God, man. Fuck. That was so hard to watch. I think it was a Greg. No. Two seasons ago, a guy within the first hour of being on the island, it's the same challenge almost all the time. You have to dig
up. The guy who fell from the rocks?
No. Well, that's the guy who fell from the rocks.
Same season. Same day.
People were climbers that year. But this guy was digging under a log that he had to get under the sand and across the other side. And it wasn't dug deep enough. And he ran full clip into it with his head.
Head first. Bashed his skull.
What a fucking moron.
Knocked himself out almost. Got up. Continued.
Sand in the cut. Just,
oh, yeah.
It's so gross.
Put that guy on Big Brother.
But no. 3 hours later, that guy's like, I don't feel so good. And then they come and check on him. He's like, no, I'm good. And then
he's concussed.
Well, yeah, that night in the middle of dinner, he's like, no, I really don't feel so good. And they were like, hey, you are seriously concussed and we're taking you out of the game. They brought him back last year and he did go well, but man, I've never seen
They brought him back?
They brought him back. He was
Holy
on last year.
Shit.
And he almost went to fire and lost.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an ex-Navy SEAL.
That's nice of them.
So
why couldn't he do the dive under the log and army crawl then?
I don't understand. That's bullshit.
Ex-Navy SEAL can't army crawl? You're right, Martin.
Dude, I'm only reading.
Navy SEALs, but got washed out.
I'm only reading the lower third. It's not true. Who fucking knows? But no, this year is off to a great start. Nothing's really happening. Tevin is my shout out from Canada. Dude from Toronto, very loud, boisterous.
His name is Tevin.
Tevin, yeah, not Kevin. Tevin, and he's
Toronto. Tevin.
Social game is fucking insane. The guy who got voted out first round, Jelinski, just wanted to be last year's. There was a guy on last year's or last season 45. That was just this, I think his name was Derek. He was this tall Q-tip looking motherfucker, like 6'8", white, pasty, really well, like weirdly spoken. Jelinski was like, I am this guy. I'm this year's guy, right?
Okay.
And like, he quit.
He quit.
He quit. He quit a two-person challenge. He quit an immunity challenge. And he quit a reward challenge. And then during tribal,
like he's just
like,
giving up.
He was just giving up. He was like, I can't do this. And
what are you doing here?
Like one of the challenges for them to get, I think, early flint or some advantage was to carry water from the ocean to
right.
a giant urn. But when they picked up the bucket, it was full of holes.
So you have to rush it.
You have to rush it. Yeah. So they were maybe 2.5 hours from finishing. And the guy he was with is like this big, solid
He's
dude.
Going.
He's going. He's not ready to quit. And he's telling Jelinski, he's like, dude, like, just listen to me, man. I'll get you through this. Like, we're going to do this, right? And then Jelinski's like, no, I'm good. I'm done. And like did that two more times.
That
and
would piss me off so hard.
He gets to tribal that night. And then Jeff's like, so like Jelinski, you've had a tough week. And he was like, yeah, man, but I'm not a quitter. Like on live TV.
I
like,
just quit.
And like, but you see everybody like record scratch and like, excuse me, Jelinski, you quit everything in the first 3 days. Like, but so that's what's interesting about it is that there's these.
No, he didn't quit. He gave up.
Sorry. My bad. I don't want to victimize him any more than he's already victimized himself. But yeah, he went home first. So anyway, Survivor's great.
If you're not immediately good at something, Michael, give up.
Get somebody else. If you can't puzzle it, let someone else come in. If you can't throw it and like land it and get it like in a basket, get the fuck out of the... Like,
don't keep trying.
You go. The first reason you go home on Survivor is you fucked a challenge.
Yeah, when somebody has a reason to send you home, especially straight at the beginning, when
any
they don't really have
yeah.
a reason personally to send you home.
There's new fucks, though, this year. And the reason I call them fucks is it's these beware advantages that really fuck your
what
teammates.
What does that mean?
So one guy got it. He says it says he won't get his idol unless his team fails a challenge. And because
this
there's three
like a
teams.
Douche.
Oh, yeah, Jelinski?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks he's a fucking idiot. He's a fucking tool.
And he went home.
He went home. He was the first one to go home. But anyway, so yeah, the only way you can get
this. Is he appropriating Japanese culture with that tattoo on his arm?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
the only way you get the Beware idol through the Beware advantage is if your team loses a challenge. So it puts the idea in your head, if there's three teams, you throw a challenge with your team so that you get an idol. So your team loses out maybe getting...
But you would know you're not going home.
But you would know you're not going home.
Greasy.
But as soon as you take the aware advantage, you lose your vote at tribal that night. So that next challenge forces you to make a decision. The only way I can stay here is if I get an idol, but the only way I can get an idol is if I fuck my teammates. Like, it's... So,
and if you fuck your teammates and they know you fucked them over, they're just going to vote you out next week.
Exactly. So, like,
you're better off trying to win.
Yeah, you are. And as soon as you try to throw
that's the point of the game.
Yeah.
Well,
to try to win.
Throwing challenges isn't like fixing baseball. Like, it's obvious that you're like, I'm just going to walk this one.
Right.
Just add Jelinski into this week's rotation.
Oh, you want to put him in one of the traps?
Later. We'll do it after.
Yeah. I'm down with it. Yeah, no. Be a big trap. Fucker's like 6'8". Anyways. If you've seen
this, how many Jelinskis, Michael?
It's better than that. So if you look at the title in Prime on Stack TV,
okay,
the poster for Survivor is Jeff Probst just looking off.
Yeah,
but he's got this huge '80s hairstyle. Like, they fucked his hair. You need to see this, listener. If you have Stack TV, go look at it. It's this big flowing '80s coif. It's not as like,
why'd they do that?
I don't know. It looks bad. So I give it 9 bad coifs. Jeff Probst. Quaffs out of 10. But I'll put the image up online after if I remember. But it looks
so you had a great first week as well.
Oh, I had a great first week as well. Okay. I'm into it. Like, I put my computer away, I put the phone down, I was like, wow. Sign me up, Jelinski, fucking go home. Yeah. So that's
Can I talk about something real quick before I just wanna I wanted to do this as my show, but I just started watching Gentlemen, but like, I think Shogun is probably one of the best shows I've seen.
It's getting nothing but hot reviews. All week
it's
long.
So
that's all I've
good.
Seen. The Shogun is good.
Like,
that's what I thought
I
you were going to talk about.
Much,
yeah.
This is how hardcore the Japanese are. In episode one, spoiler alert, listeners, in episode one, one guy, all he does is speak out of turn during a meeting. And then he's like, I'm sorry for speaking out of turn. I will commit seppuku, which is ritual suicide, and I will kill everyone in my line. Every male in my line.
Wow.
So he like has an infant son, and he kills himself and his infant son in episode one.
Okay, I need to watch this now.
You don't talk out of turn.
It's so fucking good, man. It's so fucking good.
That is straight up like old school honor and just they don't make men like that anymore.
What if they, would they ever be like, no, we really need you. Please don't do that.
No, we need your line. We need your son.
It was we can accept it was an accident. You don't have to do
here's
that.
The thing, like the political intrigue in this thing is so crazy. Like he had to do it. He had to let him do it, otherwise
oh, okay.
The other lords who are his enemies would take offense.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't know if you guys know this, but all this show is based on a like true events in history.
Cool.
Yeah. It's based on like the Edo, like I guess they call it the Edo period. So this is like a time of civil war. And then as a result of this, it brings one of the most peaceful times in Japan. Like, I think 300 years of peace under one rule, unified Japan. Pretty neat.
Goddamn. And you're
anyways,
just
I just wanted to give that a shout out, but watch it if you haven't watched it.
Are all
so
the episodes
fucking
out now?
3.
Okay.
It's out every Tuesday on Disney Plus.
Ah. Look at Disney Plus go.
Yeah, no, I saw that it was getting weekly releases on Disney Plus. I saw like 12 headlines about it being like, this period during Japan is getting this treatment, and it's like really grounded in the history of it. Like if this is your jam, this is walking a very thin line between, you know, fucking around and finding out. And
cool.
Yeah, I want to watch it now. I mean, I was waiting to hear somebody talk good. About how like someone just commits Harry Carey on the battlefield or like gets a head lobbed off within like the first, you know, like very last samurai, right?
Yeah.
With that, is it that period, Martin, in between there somewhere?
No, this is like, so the last samurai was, I think, towards the end of the Edo period. This
okay.
is like the start of the Edo period. So 300 years before, maybe.
Oh, okay,
it's
so
like,
how
is
they
the
get to peace.
Last samurai takes place, what, in the 1900s? Like early, late 1800s, I think, last samurai took place. That was like truly the end of the samurai was like that time, so this is like the I think this is like the peak of samurai. Check it out.
Yeah, no, I think I definitely will. I mean, while we're just kind of shooting the shit before we get into it, because everything's ready here, Maestro is also something that you may want to check out. I know how much we dogged on
did
it.
Did you? Hold on.
I know we dogged the shit out of it.
I mean, just
on
listen
the
to last
episode.
Last episode.
I think it's so funny that you say dogged on it, because Maestro and other movies have refused to let the dog from Anatomy of the Fall attend the Oscars because it would be a distraction.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that story, but they aren't letting the dog from Anatomy of the Fall go to the Oscars because they think it'll make them vote for Anatomy of the Fall more.
I would just like to say, fuck you, Maestro, now. What a childish fucking...
How great is it that this dog has more Oscar buzz than Bradley Cooper?
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, after seeing it, okay, for the first, like, I watched the first hour of it. He is very in character. The performance is not bad. The story is only, it's for conductors. It's for trumpet players. It's for jazz band members. It's for musicians. It is so for musicians because.
Then I'll watch Whiplash.
Right? Which is Damien Chazelle's way better.
Great show.
Right? Or I'll watch Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Right? Wild Stallions. Right, guys? No. But like, it's just very big.
I'll say this to you, Mike. I don't know if my show is quite my tempo.
Am I dragging?
It's not quite my tempo.
You're not quite my tempo. It's also like, did you guys see Mank?
Monk?
Mank. Monk. Not Monk.
I've seen Monk.
The black and white?
Mank, yeah, the black and white David Fincher about Mankiewicz, the guy who wrote Citizen Kane and all the drama behind the creation of Citizen
Kane. Heard about
Kane.
It, haven't seen it.
It's very old Hollywood. It's black and white for the most of it. It does get color during the newer periods, but it follows him being biographied. Lack of a better term.
Biopicked.
It's following. it's him going backwards in his life from the beginning at an elder age. So you've got like the old Leonard Bernstein, and then you've got the young Lenny, and how he got to start with
Benjamin Button or Benjamin Button.
Yeah, kind of. Also David Fincher, but it's just not fun. Like it's good, but it's not fun. It's Oscar, but it's not fun. Like it's just not fun. Like I had no fun watching it
because of the dog or no.
I would much. I mean, I hate Anatomy of a Fall. We know that, but
that dog deserves to be at the fucking show.
That dog deserves to be getting all the pets up and down. Let that dog walk through the Kodak Theater all fucking night. It'll have the most love it's ever had. Just let it fucking go.
I think the dog killed him.
I think Jimmy Kimmel should bring that dog on stage. And just like let the dog be
after
the open
this,
monologue.
I am forcing you to put at least $2 on Maestro.
Oh, I will. I totally will. I watched it. I have to be a part of it. Anyways.
You'll get like $140 if you win.
Listener, go check go check out that episode because obviously we're recording Oscar weekend, so we don't know anything yet. But it'll be a fun episode to listen to once the Oscars go down. Then we'll see how close we were or not. But
you'll all be shitting on us because Maestro took all the awards.
That's the episode that keeps on growing.
We'll have made so much money.
Totally. Oh, Jimmy, what time is it?
That's debate time.
Yeah.
At my signal, unleash hell. Push it. Don't push it. I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein, give me a fat beat to beat my buddy chest.
I know what kind of guy you are. I never would have agreed to work with you.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite? What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. Would you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
As mentioned at the top of the show, this is a bracket. This is 8 of our favorite characters who we feel could survive getting out of a saw trap. We're going to have a little reason why they might be there. And just anything related to their character, their history, their performances, why they may be able to negotiate getting out of one. And it's 8 characters. It's a couple rounds. 1 trap per round. And at the end of this, for you good fans who submitted some of your own ideas,
we're going to read those out as well. And what's nice about this new format with the wheel and the different traps each round is that the rounds change. And maybe a specific character would do better at the first trap, but not so much at the second trap.
Exactly. It is.
So it really is more.
Characters that are good at all traps.
So let's start with,
because we took a lot of characters that can take a lot of pain, but can they solve puzzles?
Yeah, can and like, do they have
do they
the
need to?
sometimes
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Sometimes it's like a really insane escape room in there.
Like, I'd be so bad at the puzzles on Survivor and Big Brother. That would be my downfall.
I'm hard, fast, short bursts of strength. I'm not built for a long game. So if you need something broken, or like
you
lifted,
need someone to Kool-Aid man through a wall,
sign me up. Right. But like, I mean, just myself in one of these traps. Fuck. I just give up. Oh, wait a minute. We need to open the floor.
Floor is open.
There he is. Anyways. Okay. So first round is two very tough gentlemen. We've got Arthur Denton from Little Shop of Horrors, Bill Murray's character, versus Hugh Glass, which is my character from what I used to call The Reverent, but now I know it was The Revenant.
The Reverent.
I called it The Reverent for about a year. So we've got a mountain man versus one of Bill Murray's notorious characters. Jimmy, you will be the judge of this round.
You got
so
it.
So who would you like to see go first?
Let's start with Martin.
Arthur Denton, what can I say about him?
Oh, shit. We got to talk about the trap, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's spin the wheel.
Well, we already spun the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so confident that he's going to win. I don't even care about the trap.
All right. Fair enough.
Put him in any trap.
He just dove right in.
So the first trap up is called the Spotlight Carousel. This was from
Saw 3.
Hang on here. Appearances. Saw 2, Flesh and Blood.
Oh, almost had it.
Yep, Saw 2, Flesh and Blood. As the name suggests, the trap resembled a giant carousel. It contained a large circular base plate, which constantly rotated. It was divided into several segments by numbers of big fences. On the ceiling above it, there were two large contraptions resembling a giant rotary clothesline. Attached to those were numerous red spotlights, which lighted the carousel. While these lights posed no threat to most people, they were some victims of Jigsaw who were forced to wear devices such as a mechanical collar or vest, which would detonate if they stepped into the light. Therefore, the victims who wanted to reach the other side of the room had to find their way past the fences, dividing the carousel while also avoiding the red lights. Essentially, it's a bomb maze, guys.
Okay, so as soon as you take the wrong turn, you step in front of that light, you blow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Martin, Arthur Denton, why?
I think he's going to run straight for the bombs.
No fear on this guy.
No fear. None. In fact, he welcomes the pain. Welcomes it.
But this isn't just pain. This isn't like digging something out of your eyeball. This is, if you lose,
here's
you're
what,
blow
here's
off.
What you have.
Okay.
You have a sadist, Jigsaw. Or, like I say, you have immovable object versus an unrelenting force. So the sadist versus the masochist.
Science.
Two
things.
Okay. Who's going to win? I think Art Denton's going to win. I think Jigsaw's just going to get pissed off and be like, I can't fucking hurt this guy. Just leave. But he's like, but Arthur Denton's not going to leave. He's going to want to stay. He's going to want more. And Jake's actually going to get mad and game over.
I think that works. Sorry. You can keep going if you'd like.
Do you need more time?
You can go ahead and comment. I'm going to keep going. But go ahead and comment if you want
to
say.
I just think for this specific trap, he's going to have a little bit more brains. Do you think he has something like that?
I mean, with a name like Arthur Denton, who wouldn't think that's a smart man?
Art Dent?
Arthur Denton, not Art Dent.
Dent more. Art Dent wins.
Art Dent. Okay,
he's
I mean,
win. He can't. I don't think Jigsaw wins this one. Like, you could put him in any trap, anything. Arthur Denton's resilience will win, and it's been proven. Look at Steve Martin's character. He just gave up. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
He gave up.
No, I see what you're
Sorry,
saying. You're saying
he
Steve Martin
he quit. He gave up.
He's a Jelinski.
He's a Jelinski. You're saying that Steve Martin is like Jigsaw in this scenario.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand exactly what you're saying now.
It's sadist versus sadist. Like, he's going to wait
masochist.
Him out.
I know what he's
getting at here.
I just don't know if this is the right trap for him. Like, if he was doing one of those, you got to saw your arm off or get blood out of your body, I think he could do it for sure. But just this one being a maze might be a little tougher for him. But we'll see what Michael has to say.
Traps don't matter for Arthur Denton, Jimmy.
Well, yeah, you know, matter. Traps don't matter for a guy who's a trapper. So, and that's Hugh Glass. If a listener has seen The Revenant, it's about Mountain Man, Jim Bridger, and Hugh Glass.
I'm Hugh Jazz.
Big Hugh Jazz today. No, I looked at this as, like, there's different aspects of the movie. There's different points in the film when Hugh Glass has to survive. And I think the greatest example would be when the indigenous tribe come find them in the first act of the movie and you see the arrows being shot through. You've got a trapper who's trying to be trapped by the best trappers. So to Martin's point, point, Arthur Denton is a masochist in that he'll wait out
the pain,
or probably enjoy it a little bit.
Almost definitely.
He's not waiting out nothing. He's going to enjoy it all.
Right. He's going to smile his way through it. My guy's going to dodge and weave his way through it. My guy understands the mind of a trapper, and essentially that's what Jigsaw really is someone who's laying traps. And isn't a trap just something that you might be able to avoid?
Not just a trapper, but a tracker as well.
Exactly, right? So watching, thinking, trying to put your brain inside the mind of one Jigsaw. In this case, if he's trying to maneuver around a maze where lights light off bomb vests, he's going to use the agility of an animal that he's tracked.
You know, it's too bad he didn't get the reverse bear trap.
Right.
He would have been fine.
He's been setting those his entire life.
I know how to do
right?
this.
I'm getting fucking pelts. I'm Mr. Pelt, bitch.
I'm Mr. Pelt.
But no, I think that experience in the wild in a part of society when...
That was like, my stripper name.
You know, like...
Mr. Pelt.
Mr.
Pelt. Experience in the wild?
Experienced in the wild. I like that too.
That's what
Mr. Pelt, he's experienced in the wild, ladies.
No, I think a guy who's using muskets and has to trap and track and has a great sense of having to get out. So if he's there, which I feel he might be there... Like, I know you kind of asked, like, why are these people there? I think Hugh might be there for trading with the wrong indigenous tribes. Like,
okay.
The ones
maybe
who
he screwed someone over he shouldn't
yeah,
have.
He basically screwed someone out of their land. And
sorry,
and,
Martin, why do you think Arthur Dent would be in the saw trap? Why do you think Jigsaw would have kidnapped him?
He seeked it out.
He raised his hand.
That's
even,
funny.
He wanted to be there.
We've
he
never had a volunteer
there.
Before.
No,
that's
we haven't. That throws the whole
he's
thing.
He's like, I want to do this.
He heard about it online. He's like, that sounds great. Where do I sign up?
Is this a study?
That's why he's there.
I love that.
Okay, fair enough. Jimmy, what do you think? Who's it go to? I'm in the room with you. You have to put up with me the rest of the
I agree. I love the comparison of the dentist to Jigsaw. I think that's hilarious. And I think that's pretty factual that maybe he would be able to get through it. I just don't know if this is his trap to get through.
They're
unless
all his traps. Can I say, think... Jimmy, what your question was, does he have the mental capacity to get through this trap? This guy goes to the dentist for fun.
I know that.
How strong of a mind would you need to do that?
Well, my issue is that this is a maze. It's basically a quiz with your sight and your brain. And if you take one wrong turn...
Here's the thing with Glass. I think he would just be... It would be too much culture shock for him. And he would freak out. Because he's been taking the guy from the 1800s to today's world.
Oh, God, a fence.
Where the fuck am I?
Oh, my word, a red light.
Oh, God.
Sorcery.
Is that a torch? A red torch?
But like, okay. All right, hang on here.
He'd just be too culture shocked to move or do anything.
That's a good valid point, but like, okay, my guy has the will to survive. Your guy has the will to be like, blow my limb off, see if I care. Like, eventually.
Because if
like,
he blows up, there's no enjoying the pain. He's just dead.
Yeah. Where like Hugh's out, you enjoy getting out of the trap. Like,
well, usually aren't like, is it like a landmine? What are the explosives?
It's a bomb strapped to your vest.
Yeah, it's light activated bombs, essentially.
I'm
kidding. Oh, that changes everything.
I think I got to go with Hugh Jazz.
Yeah.
And scene.
Just on the
this
trap.
This is a conspiracy.
If this
Jimmy's
was,
not voting with integrity.
I am voting with integrity. I think if this was any other trap, this would have been your game. But because this is something like a maze where a tracking would really matter... I think it's got to go huge ass.
I appreciate that. I mean, it is. I will concede that it is an environment way outside.
But that's why
of
we're doing the trap
doing.
Wheel.
Yeah, like the trap. The trap said what round it was going to. I did not pick the traps. We have nothing to do with the trap selection. We do have everything to do with the next round, though. Which I'm going to sit out and be a judge for this one.
Oh,
Martin, who's had, if you've listened to the show, listener, you know that one of Martin's favorite characters to use. Is Miss Colleen Rafferty from the SNL sketch Batting My Knockers with the alien invasion, right, Martin?
Aliens, ghosts,
Van Damme.
She's been on it.
So,
who's mine?
You have, it's a twofer. You picked a team.
Thank you for letting me.
It's totally fine.
They come together. Like, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, and you really can't make rules for this shit that makes sense. Like, when you're like, no, that's not fair. Well, why? I don't know. which doesn't make any sense why it is or is it. So Jimmy picked the best cat burglars from the 90s. He picked the Wet Fucking Bandits.
Damn right.
So it's the Wet Bandits versus Colleen Rafferty. And because Jimmy said at last round, we're giving Martin a break, I want to see why you think the Wet Bandits would truly, in fact, get out of
knife
chair.
What is the knife chair, Michael?
The knife chair sounds pretty much what it is. Let me bring this over here.
Is definitely not going to be the Wet Bandits challenge.
So the knife chair was a rather primitive, consisting of a wooden chair connected to two metallic contraptions. Attached to the armrests of the chair were blades, which would cut the victim's wrists. To prevent the test subject from standing up, both arms and legs were fixated to metal shackles. These shackles were connected by several metal bars. The central bar was in a vertical position and had a small pressure plate attached to the upper end. This plate was positioned in front of the victim's face. In order to get free from the shackles, the test subject had to press his face against the plate. However, there was another device which made this task rather difficult. The device consisted of 8 knives, 4 on each side, which were horizontally positioned in front of the victim's face. Therefore, the victim had to press his face through the knives in order to press the plate connected to the shackles to get out.
So to live, you have to push your face against a bunch of knives.
Imagine knives going...
Or it'll cut your
horizontal wrists. Across. You stand up, you cut your wrists. Knives going horizontally across your face that you have to push your face through like a cheese grate, right? And then the plate on the other side releases.
This might be Harry and Marv's challenge, actually.
Okay.
No.
Well, let's
think
see.
About it.
Do you want to use both at the same time?
I think it's got to be them together, right?
All right.
But I think that's up to you because they do go through a lot of the traps in Kevin McAllister's house by themselves.
I think you should pick one of the other for this. You can use both, but you can't use both at the same time. So who do you think out of Harry and Marv would
I'm
be
going
better?
Marv.
Okay, all right.
I'm going Marv.
Time is yours.
Marv took a lot of punishment in those movies. He took, maybe he didn't take the blowtorch. He took the nail through the foot. He took a paint can to the face. He took a hot iron to the face. So he's taking a lot of face damage. So I have...
it's leather.
My man's got constitution. He can make it. I think... Now, would he figure it out immediately? Definitely not. Have they ever figured out a trap immediately in Kevin McAllister's house? Definitely not. They always fall for it. That's their thing. But what do they have? Resiliency. They continue. They get to the point where they get through every single trap that he set up. Traps that would have killed him. I did a little bit of YouTube research before this on Harry and Marv. I watched a YouTube series where a doctor comes on and he watches movies and he tells you whether or not they'd survive based on their injuries. He's done the Die Hard movies. He's done Home Alone. He's done all sorts of things.
Oh, deep research.
And I'll tell you, he said at the end of Home Alone, they should have been violently dead.
Of course!
I have a medical professional saying
that. Absolutely no chance they should have lived, but they did.
You just have to watch a video to figure that out.
But it's like, how does a bee fly, you know? Yeah. Nobody really knows.
Yeah, they
did. They powered through. They're just so resilient. I have no doubts. Yes, he would probably stand up and cut his wrists, and he'd go, ow, ouchie, or whatever they yell in the movies. It'd be a
Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, wow! It'd be Buddy trying not to swear the whole time.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that he would stand up and cut his wrist first, but eventually he'd realize, oh, I have to put my face through the knives. And then he'd just do it because that's the only way to get through.
Because there is a sink somewhere that he could turn off.
What is Billy the Puppet if not Kevin McAllister?
Oh.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They'd hunt him down the same way they hunted down Kevin.
They would.
And as for how they got there.
Yeah, why are they there?
And as for how they got there, I imagine that they tried to break in and they thought it was a different house.
Fair enough. All right, Martin, the floor is yours. You have another shot with Colleen Rafferty.
Here's what I'm going to say. Like, Jimmy, if your only argument is resilience, my character has that. That's not a very good argument. Like, what puts him ahead of everything? Like, resilience is resilience. Like, Colleen Rafferty getting abducted on a Tuesday night. That's just a typical Tuesday night for Colleen Rafferty. This is just something that she experiences on the regular. Like, we know weird shit happens to her. Resilience, like, you know, 45 aliens batting her knockers.
While staring at her from the corner.
Also, too, she would figure out the trap because what would happen is Jigsaw would put a cigarette at the end of it, and she would... Nothing stopping her from getting that cigarette. She'd just fucking go right in there.
She'd put her face right through.
She'd probably put it out on the puppet
after. As long
as
she has cigarettes, she's fine. She's fine.
What I'll say to that, Jigsaw famously does not like smokers.
It's true.
That's why she's probably there.
That's probably why she's there.
That's why she got abducted.
That's why she's there. The aliens abducted her, and they're like, let's see if we can fuck with her there.
Let's see if they can fuck with her.
That's a new alien outpost. Jigsaw and the aliens are in cahoots together.
Don't think the Wet Bandits would win against Jigsaw. I think Colleen Rafferty would win against Jigsaw.
Nobody wins against Jigsaw.
You don't win.
You learn your lesson.
If Arthur Denton, he would have won.
He would have smiled.
Arthur Denton would have won all of it.
Probably would have offered Jigsaw free dental work, because that's the kind of fucking guy he is.
He's not a dentist.
No, he's not the dentist.
Sorry.
He's the guy who goes to
the
dentist.
Patient.
Yeah, well, okay. Then you would have asked for then the masochist.
Can I please have some more?
Yeah. Martin, anything else before I render judgment?
I mean, Bat Knockers, like Colleen Rafferty, like she's, if we're talking resilience, this is the character.
I think my if I can just interject. I think that a lot of the stuff that we've seen is from Harry and Marv. We've seen them take this punishment and keep going. All we've had from Colleen Rafferty is stories. Just fabrications.
Stories and sketches. it's like I caught a fish this big.
That's right.
Did you get a picture of the fish?
It's a real big fish.
But who can make up a story like that?
Okay.
That's all I gotta say.
Like, I did a Van Damme split over the toilet.
I honestly don't think there is, like, they both have resilience. They both have fortitude. I mean, one's been abducted by aliens and taken off planet into a ship and
allegedly
had all kinds of sexual assault performed on her, right? And she's back at it next week. New interview, new story, 12 cigarettes later, right? Like, that's a trooper. On the other hand, you have guys who, like, they just have proof. They have proof. We've seen this happen. We've only heard conjecture and hearsay from Colleen Rafferty, right? I have examples of an iron on the face. I have examples of blowtorches to the head. I have examples of slipping and falling. Like, even the slipping
things
on the
ice. Things
that
would kill a normal man.
Well, repeatedly, yes. Sure. And as much as I don't want to make Martin a judge for the rest of the episode, but I have to go.
This is a conspiracy. You guys talked about it. Like, we're just going to not let Martin win.
Jimmy.
It's a conspiracy.
Jimmy has gotten one passed round, one in a bracket.
I'm sorry, man. I have to.
It's a miracle.
Did you both, like, talk and just, like, eliminate me from the first round in general? Like, this is.
It's a miracle.
This was Martin's.
Who was your second pick, Jimmy?
My second pick is Max Cady from Cape Fear.
Oh my God! How did I get paired up with, like, the worst matchups in this whole thing?
I just made sure we didn't run into a Martin versus Martin again. So, like,
I'm putting an asterisk on this one. I'm voting with integrity.
Martin, you still get to argue potentially for Charles and have a winner in this.
I don't want to argue that shit.
You can put your picks with
picks.
You can put your picks with London the dog and the Littlest Hobo. Yeah. And Stifler's mom.
Conspiracy.
He's got it going on. All right, the Wet Bandits, move on. There we go. Oh.
You had them pre-checked because you knew.
No. Yeah, he knew he was gonna pick before this game even started. Boys.
Okay, so let's get Charles in this, even though he's not here today. Charles is almost done school, listener. If you have done the creative communication,
if you've been
program,
in school before,
if you've ever been in school before, you know. But the CRECOM course is pretty intense for 2 years, so that man is almost done. So he has submitted his pairings again for us to proxy. So many alliterations out of me today.
Wow.
And we've got Jimmy up again with Max Cady versus Charles with Mr.
No.
Bean. Now, I feel that Martin is out a little too early. Martin, do you want me to?
I want to be the judge.
You
want to
be
argue, Mr. Bean?
You don't. Oh, you want to be the judge? Okay, fine. I'll take Mr. Bean.
I'll be judge for the whole thing. You guys do it.
I guess that's what we have to do from now on.
This always happens to somebody.
Martin, you've now got the power
practice
to put whoever you want to the end. I hope that makes up for it. And send my love.
It doesn't.
Send my love to Colleen. Okay, Martin, who would you like to go first? We have me as Mr. Bean or Max Cady with Jimmy. Who do you want to
Let's
first?
See what Mr. Bean's got to say.
Okay, all right. Let's bring up the round three challenge
here.
Mr. Bean's got not much to say.
No, he really doesn't say much.
All right, round three is the cyanide box. So the cyanide box, let's bring this over here so I can read it because glasses aren't what they used to be. This one, listener, I know we didn't say for the last one, but this is from Saw 3D. This is where the cyanide box
Lovely.
Came from. And the trap, this is a pretty easy one. The trap consisted of a small box which was surrounded by a small metal cage and filled with sulfuric acid, acid that burns through the skin.
Is there any other kind of acid?
There isn't really.
Everybody just talks about sulfuric.
There is, yeah.
But why just citric, sulfuric all the time? It's, yeah, you're right.
Citric.
Yeah, okay.
Science. On top of the cage was a little depot filled with several cyanide pellets. Once the trap was activated, a small plate slid to the side and caused the pellets to fall down into the acid. Due to the chemical reaction, the entire room was filled with poisonous gas, which killed everyone inside within a few seconds. So, kind of easier than the last round, right? Like, basically, you got to get out of the room before the pellets drop in the acid,
yeah,
causing citric sulfuric acid to form, because there's more than one acid. And, yeah, so, Martin, you want to see Bean up first. Okay, well, we know...
Mr. Bean.
What do we know about Mr. Bean? We know that Mr. Bean is, if not notoriously the most lucky character in the history of cinema. I don't know who else is. Like, the guy finds himself inside of the bottom of a turkey and can still find his way around a room. The guy finds himself almost being hit by a car and somehow finds his way around it. Like, pain just bounces off of him.
He's got Domino.
Exactly. He's got Domino. That's Domino. Should have fucking, well, should have picked Domino. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he elicits the ability to dumb his way through life and never really be in a situation that really sucks for him. So in that regard, I think we're going to see, like, everyone else scramble and then him fall through, like, a fucking trap door and find his way out. Like,
failing upwards.
He's going to fail upwards some way. He's going to push the wrong side of the wall and he's just going to find a weak point. Like, it is within his character and within his grasp to find his way out of that room and escape all acidic, citric or otherwise properties and survive and just make grunting noises. That would be his only.
I'd love to have a laugh track over this.
Right, this portion deserves.
Everyone else
a laugh
is
track.
Terrified, yeah, and Mr. Yeah. Bean's got a laugh track to him.
He's just so happy, right? Like, so I just think in that regard, we've got somebody who just—it's impossible for them to really ever lose. They don't win. They do win, but they don't find themselves there by their own trying.
So how did Mr. Bean get there?
Mr. Bean got there.
He's second degree murder.
Yeah, he found himself there because he accidentally bought the wrong piece of real estate in a real estate deal and went to go check it out for the first time after he bought the keys. So
that's
he's
nice.
Like, he's trying to invest in his future. He bought a warehouse that he was going to, like, you know,
he's got
rent
a suitcase.
Out.
He's got Teddy.
Yeah, right. He's got Teddy.
See, you got a pair too.
He shows up, drops, you know, has coffee, sits down, and then he's like, he hears something and he's like, and then, lo and behold, finds himself in a room full of sulfuric acid with a bunch of other people that make no sense. Because that's a Mr. Bean episode.
It is.
All right. I concede. I don't know about when.
I was really worried about going up against Mr. Bean because I think truly he is the perfect choice for this competition. I think he's an excellent choice for this bracket.
Thank you.
I will do what I can. Charles made a great choice.
Yeah.
You did fine. You could have been better. Max Caddy is a terrifying man in both iterations. I the way I'm picturing it is the Robert De Niro version.
I figured as much.
Yeah. Just a truly terrifying man. Like, this is a man who went to jail for something that he actually did and then still took out this horrible fucking grudge over this man, over Nick Nolte and his family.
Right.
I mean, what's there to say, man? Like, this guy went on a fucking cross-country road trip strapped to the bottom of a car. Like, I don't think he's really worried about shit. Like, Jigsaw should be worried about him coming to find him after this shit.
He holds a grudge.
He does. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does hold a grudge, Michael. He holds a real grudge. He's
more so than Grudge 1,
man.
2, and 3 altogether.
And just his body type. Oh, my God. Robert De Niro's workout routine for that movie. My Lord. I don't think we picked anybody that's even close to physically fit.
The only reason I want you to win is because I want to wash my underwear on his stomach. Like, fuck, is he ripped in that movie? Like, he's just a beast of a man.
And this is something. he's patient. He takes his time with these kind of things. And just absolutely no fear. He feels nothing. So how do you stop a man? How do you give a man a choice or a trap like this? And not expect him to be able to do it. Yeah. Because he doesn't feel anything. And that's my time.
I know you said that he's patient, but these...
He was stalking them for months.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but do not all of these traps have like a 3-minute counter?
That's a good point. Patience in the sense that he can sit and think about how he needs to get out of it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he's not going to do anything too hasty.
I will give you that hardened by time and a prison.
Yeah.
You're right in that.
He's got time.
Yeah, he's got time. And I mean, which does that prove that he gets out? But why
maybe
is
not,
he,
maybe.
But why is he there, Jimmy?
Jeez, probably for the rape, Michael.
Okay, just making sure. Hang on. Just making sure that that was the reason. That was jaywalking.
He stepped on a dog's tail by accident.
Loitering. Stepped on John Wick's dog's tail. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got a guy who's a sociopath, and then you've...
Mr. Bean,
got Mr. Bean, who...
He is a sociopath, yeah.
Well, not... No, that's not who was the sociopath.
You got Mr. Bean, psycho. The sociopath, and then Max Caddy.
Martin, it's your call, man. You
you know what? Just because this is who I thought was going to be in the finals with me, I got to go with Mr. Bean.
Yes! Ooh!
I get it. I understand. That was a tough one.
I thought it was going to be a battle of the dumb people, the dumb lucky people. That's what I thought it was going to be at the end.
Dumb lucky people.
Mr. Bean's the right choice.
I think Charles is gonna.
I would think that would really piss off Max Gatey too.
Is that
Mr. Bean is doing super good? Yeah, it would set him off and throw him off of his game, and that's when he makes mistakes.
Martin, I feel I must ask you this because you have the right to refuse or confirm. But the next round is me with Laura Croft, the Angelina Jolie version. I didn't see the new one, although I know it's really good, but my points are valid either way. Versus John Connor.
You can't use video game Laura Croft.
No, I'm not using video game Laura. I'm not using what some coder made. Versus John Connor. Martin, who would you like to see go first? Oh, we need a trap.
We need a trap.
Yeah, get a
trap. It's a trap.
It's going to be tough. John Connor's an interesting choice. I didn't really think about him too much. Let's see what I can find.
This trap for round four.
What's the trap?
It's brought to you by the Pendulum Trap. The Pendulum Trap, if you've seen The House of Usher, I believe is very similar to what happened to this gentleman. The victim's arms and feet were strapped to a metal table with shackles attached to the short metal chain. So arms and legs on a table. Pretty simple. Additionally, an automatic metal shackled was put around the victim's neck to prevent him from moving away. While above the victim, the ceiling was a large contraption that held a blade in the shape of a pendulum. Once the game began, the pendulum started to swing back and forth and would be lowered down into regular intervals. After 30 seconds, it would touch the victim's body, and after 60 seconds, it would kill the test subject by horizontally cutting them in half. To the right and to the left of the victim were two vices with small pressure buttons inside them. To stop the pendulum, the victim had to insert both hands into the vices and activate them by pressing the buttons. Therefore, they would slowly crush the victim's hands. So be cut off or be handless is the pendulum. Arden, who's going first?
Who went first last time? Was it?
I did, for Mr. Bean.
Let's do Jimmy first then.
Okay.
What you got, John?
Well, he picked the Christian Bale John Connor. He didn't pick Eddie Furlong.
Yeah, he did. He picked a 35-year-old Connor.
A 35-year-old Connor who's seen some shit.
Yeah.
A 35-year-old John Connor who has been to war and back.
Yeah.
A man that deals with machines on the basis. A man who's probably dealt with machines who want to crush his hands all the time.
Fuck, I didn't think about that.
A John Connor who is technically part machine. Right? Is that him?
No, that's Sam Worthington.
Shit. Okay.
That's a big spoiler.
He's still a human, Jimmy.
Scratch that. Yeah. Scratch that.
That's from the docket.
I mean, how are you going to tell me? I don't know how many veterans have been featured in the Saw movies. I can't pick out any that I can remember.
Shit heels, and veterans are usually pretty decent people. Like,
this is a man who has been through the future war and has truly seen shit that hasn't been seen since the Vietnam War. He has seen some horrible, horrible stuff. And if you think that this man who lives every day with the thought in his head that his dad is also his adoptive son.
Okay, sure.
A man who has to live with how he sent his own dad back in the past to fuck his mom so that he would be born. I don't think this is a man that you can scare with a hand-crushing trap. I think this is a man who has more...
Okay, so he's going to... Are you saying that he's going to be like, fuck my hands, I'm out?
Exactly. Well, he's from the future, Michael. He's going to be able to get much better hands. So I think for this particular trap...
I want to stipulate that my choice is going to come to who argues it better because it's both the same character. They're both arguing the same traits for the same character.
Well, no, I don't have the ability to travel through time and have my friends fuck my mom.
No, that's not what I mean, like, in terms of characteristics.
That was a choice he made. So I believe that John Connor can make tough choices, and that's what Saw's all about.
And that's you're very right. If you're willing to risk it for the biscuit.
I hope I did you right, Charles.
I think you did. I think you should have gone a little heavier on the machine part because, like, the mechanical aspect of a T-1000 or a T-800, he's going to look to see the mechanical way out because he's going to crush the throat of a robot, which is not a real throat.
He literally beat a robot up by himself.
Right?
Think about that.
And isn't the trap
a robot in a way?
Kind of, why am I helping you? Okay, so Laura Croft. What do we know about Laura Croft?
Well, puzzle solver.
She's a great puzzle solver. Yep. But she also had to defend herself from a robot, if we're talking mechanics, right? Someone turned that robot on in the first one and sicked it on her, right? So she's also used to being a mechanic. She's a mechanical girl in a mechanical world. And but, I mean, what we're looking at here is we're looking at somebody who has the bendability factor. We're looking at somebody who can flip, who can jump, who can
I'm sorry, bounce. Mine's not sexy enough for
well,
you.
No. I mean, I don't care if she does it in a fucking snowsuit. I'm just saying, like, she's got flexibility. So some of these things that have been booby traps for her in the past.
Oh, booby traps now? Is that what you're saying?
Booby traps, mechanical traps, they're all traps, right? Like, she's got... Like, I mean, it's Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah.
But just a way cooler version. So how do you say that Laura Croft doesn't find her way out of something that's identical to, you know, darts being spit at her in the wilderness or like pulling a stone out of a wall and the booby trap?
She might be made for this.
She's been trained for this because she's grown up trying to find her
Michael
father.
Said booby.
I can see the correlation. Causation? Is it because Angelina or is it?
Yes.
Is Angelina. No, but I just mean I think she's got a certain special set of skills that put her in tough situations that she can find her way out of with her mind and her instinct and her skills versus having to make a decision where it's like my hands are gone. Laura's getting out. Now, the reason Laura's there.
She's not going to have robot hands after.
She's not going to have robot hands after. She has no future.
You can't swing from vines without hands.
Yeah, and John knows the future's they're coming. So he's like, I just got to wait 70 years for new hands.
That's right.
Laura has no ability for that. So I do get that. But Laura's there because... Do you remember in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom when they have to return the rocks?
Yeah.
She stole the rocks.
Oh, okay.
She stole somebody's rocks and has robbed them of their religious artifacts for her own.
That's crime.
That's crime.
Yep.
Right? She.
You can't do that.
It's been tough. She hasn't had a lot of work, so she had to go steal something and sell it on the black market.
You put your life in danger all the time.
Yeah. That's very good. Very good, John.
Thank you.
Sorry, that's my floor. Martin?
Tough one.
Tough one.
No, it's a tough one. You guys both had good solid points. But I think, like I said, like I mentioned, they're kind of both the same character. Both are good. Both are very intelligent. Both are very fit. They live eccentric lifestyles. Right? They've been through battle. But I think I'm going to have to give it to John Connor.
Wow, yeah.
Just because I support the troops.
That's for you, Charles.
I like that, Martin.
Charles with two wins.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness. I really thought I was going to have it with Laura and then get to pick who I took on to go into the finals. So,
all right. Wow. Okay. So we're down to the semifinals here, listener. We've got four rounds done. Which means it's me with Hugh Glass versus John Connor as Charles.
That's a tough one.
And then Mr. Bean versus the Wet Bandits.
I feel like both brackets on either side are perfect for each other.
I
like
really,
Mr. Bean could have been a Wet Bandit.
He could have, yeah. He was. So, Martin, which round would you like to go first? Would you like Bean versus the Bandits or would you like Hugh versus John?
Let's go Bean versus the Bandits.
Bean Bandits.
It sounds like a cartoon show.
All right.
So let's get
see what the trap is. I mean, that's going to be our deciding factor, I think.
It's a huge deciding factor. this one's called the Backbreaker.
Oh, I wonder what it does. He didn't really put a lot of effort into his names, did he?
No, he didn't. It's all in the design, not so much in the...
little on the nose, on the back.
So this one's from Saw, the video game, and Saw 2, Flesh and Blood, so it's been featured twice.
Oh my God, there's a Saw video game.
There is a Saw video game, yes. Thank you, Wiki Fandom. The Backbreaker was a mechanical chair, which was mounted into onto a pedestal in a prone position.
A lot of chair-themed traps.
Yeah, so prone is like flat, right?
Yeah.
Originally, the chair was designed as a medical restraint for aggressive patients with psychotic disorders. It consisted of several movable segments which could be moved into different directions. In detail, there were segments for the fixation of the legs, the back, the head of the victim,
the
as
pussy,
well as
the crack.
Great throwback. Once the game began, the arm segments were slowly twisted backwards and thereby bended until the arms broke. After that, the same would be done with the victim's back until the spine broke, resulting in the victim's death. To survive, the test subject had to rely on the help of a second person. Within 4 minutes, this person had to reverse the electric motors on the trap by bypassing three circuit panels on the wall.
Well, I fucking win because I have two people and you have a man and a teddy bear.
Yeah, but you only get to pick one of the two, you fucker.
This trap specifically requires two people. Two of which I have. Michael has Mr. Bean and Teddy, unless you're putting Teddy in the chair.
Well, if I'm putting Teddy in the chair.
I think you have to be putting Teddy
in the chair.
All right, fine. You want to do this
that
way?
That's the only way you can do it.
All right, well, Teddy's in the chair.
And Mr. Bean would be devastated if he died.
That's the end of Mr. Bean. I think that's the end of Rowan Atkinson. I think Rowan really needs Teddy in his everyday. Martin?
Jeez, that could be a good point.
Who would you like to pick to go first?
Let's see the WBs go first.
WBs. All right, you wet bitches.
The Wet Bandits have been working as a team robbing houses for years. They are professionals. They have their own calling card. They know how to work as a team. They have chemistry. They know each other. They know each other's ticks. I think I'm putting Marv in the chair because Harry's the brains of the operation, so I got to have him figuring out the puzzle part. And Marv takes a lot more of the punishment. Marv does fall down a lot of stairs, and his back holds up. He's still walking by the end of that movie. So I think you could get him in a pretty precarious position, and he'll still be going, so giving Harry a lot more extra time to figure out how to get him out of
there. You're applying, like, yoga stretchability to
absolutely. Well, he's a long gangly guy. Yeah, okay. Exactly. He's a long gangly guy. So I think based on his ability to fall downstairs successfully without injuring himself.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that can definitely help him in the chair.
Yeah, sure.
Harry.
That's what you think.
Great at making a plan. Great at making a plan. He can.
You have 4 minutes for this plan, bud.
He can plan ahead. He can think about what he needs to do, and he knows that Marv can take the pain, so he's like, I got all the time in the world to figure this out. I believe in teamwork and chemistry, and that's what these two guys have. They literally have a name for each other. They're the Wet Bandits.
Yeah. Sticky Bandits.
Well, eventually.
Yeah. Because they had to change the calling card.
Yeah. You move to New York, that happens. You change your name.
Yeah, yeah. Rebranding.
Yeah, exactly. I love the idea of seeing Teddy in this trap and Mr. Bean trying to get him out.
So obviously, this is an episode of Mr. Bean, first of all. Like, Teddy's in the trap. Mr. Bean's like, how did Teddy get here? I thought I left him in the office because obviously this is still in his building that he bought, right?
For years you've taken Teddy for granted.
Jigsaw sees all, right? Long con. So I think what we've got here is a panicked Mr. Bean.
Big time.
Who, if I would write this as an episode, because we know he always wins in the end, he would somehow try to mess with Circuit 1. And in messing with Circuit 1, he would get electrocuted, which would cause Circuit 2 to then disarm. And then he would have to figure out Circuit 3. And then he would stick his finger in Circuit 3 while trying to reach for Teddy at the same time to pull him, and then would electrocute himself on Circuit 3 and then somehow, like, all the way over the room, grabbing Teddy before it flips in half and bends a stuffed animal. Now, I know you say you've got teamwork. You're trying to get in between a man and his stuffed animal. You think about all the quality time, all the secrets and stories. There's nothing stopping Mr. Bean, including death. And all we have to do is get Teddy out. So I'm willing. I'm willing to even say that Mr. Bean would sacrifice his own life. Mr. Wow. Bean would come to a moment in his life where all of the stupidity and all of the ridiculousness would matter just to save Teddy. So if we have to get one out, I'm fine with putting one away.
And would Harry do that for Marv?
I don't think so. Harry has a underlying hate for Marv. They have to work together because they have no one else, okay? Like, there is some deep-seatedness inside of Harry towards Marv. Like,
what did they do to you, man? Did they leave your fucking tub running? What's happening?
They cause insurance damage?
That hydro bill is crazy, yo.
No shit. No. He pretended he was a police officer to me once.
What
and ever
did they
since
do
then,
to you?
No, I think a man-stuffed animal... Hey, you asked for this. You wanted Teddy in the chair. So I think a man-stuffed animal beats out Marv being like, you know what? I'm fine with letting Harry or Marv die, and Harry's fine with letting him go. Like, he's going to sit there and think for a minute, hey, you know what? I can go solo. I can be out of this problem. I can be out of the fucking Marv business altogether. It can be done.
You don't want to be by yourself.
Martin, it's up to you.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. That you never, like, this is the argument that you never
thought you'd have today.
Jimmy. This is the argument that you never countered, is that the wet bandits are failures. They never win.
Mr. Bean does.
They ran. They won. Win. The wet bandits won consistently until they ran into Kevin McAllister.
Mr. A Bean, child.
But Mr. Bean always wins. He's got a perfect. He's the
always,
Muhammad Ali.
They always went against people who weren't home, but they got one person and they lost to a child.
Shit.
It's true.
So they're not playing when they're robbing houses. They're not playing against anyone. It's house is empty. But
Kevin is worse
than Jigsaw.
They're
playing against Jigsaw, so they're playing against people now. They don't do good against other people, is what I'm saying. Whereas Mr. Bean,
he's right. Just take it.
And this is why I think the wet bandit should have lost in round one.
Fuck. I think
I gotta give it to Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean's such a good pick, man. Charles
God
picked well.
Damn it.
Fucking Charles.
It's gonna be an all Charles finale.
It's gonna be an all Charles finale.
Shit.
All right, Mr. Bean gets it.
I like how the guy who's probably gonna win isn't even here.
You picked Wet Bandits, though.
Oh, I did? Whoops.
No, I picked Mr. Bean.
I've done it again. Won successfully due to pre-picking.
You have me. Yeah, I'm in the room with
you.
I sway your way. So in the final, first off, is Mr. Bean Charles's pick, which means we could have a Charles versus Charles finale.
Without him even being here.
Which is pretty impressive to know that in a debate that means absolutely nothing, made from someone's brain, that was inspired by a tweet with a funny question, he actually wins.
He
with
won.
Both. That could happen. So, Martin, our last trap is up here, and it's Hugh Glass, Mountain Man Hugh Glass versus John Connor.
Grizzly Adams.
What's the trap?
The trap. What's the trap? Fuck.
Should
this
we let's
depend on the trap? I think
yeah,
this will depend on the trap.
It's all dependent on the trap.
As long as it's not reverse bear trap, I got you.
Okay, so we have a choice here.
Okay,
we can do. We'll let Martin choose. We have the steam maze, we have the reverse bear trap, or we have the ice block trap. Martin, because you say it depends on the trap, and this is going into the final, you get to pick.
Uh oh.
Which trap would give people an advantage? Because I want to pick a trap where no one has an advantage.
I think
Hugh
Glass would have an advantage. He'd have an advantage of the bear trap.
I think so.
For sure. Because
yeah.
he's worked
so
with him
trap.
100 times.
Yeah, so that's out. Okay, so ice block trap or steam maze?
I could see Connor having an advantage.
Let's do
with this.
We already
steam
had a
maze.
Let's do ice block trap.
Okay, ice block trap
maze.
It is. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so the ice block trap, listener, was featured in Saw 4, Saw 5, Saw 6, and 3D. So this one's been used the most.
It was a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they
no
do
shit.
Flashbacks, so it might just be.
Yeah, that's it didn't say which one it was used in, but yeah, you're right. So the person tested in this trap was Eric Matthews, corrupt detective who'd abducted 6 months earlier by Amanda Young.
He was a star of Saw
yeah.
2, I think.
Yeah.
Played by Donnie Wahlberg. Right?
Yep. The ice block
phenomenal.
Trap. Hang on here. No, you're totally right.
I picked Donnie Wahlberg, actually.
Where is the depiction?
Not Mark.
From Band of Brothers?
Not Mark. I'm picking Donnie. Sometimes I take Donnie outside and I gotta beat him up.
Oh, yeah, it's a very simple trap. Okay, so this is the one where the ice block slowly, slowly melts. And as it melts, he's got a noose around his neck and he's hung.
Right.
So it's...
Oh, that's easy.
But
hung like a...
It's Eric Matthews' horse. Test trap, right?
Isn't Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World? Could
be. Yeah, he is. That's the brother of...
Eric Matthews. Yeah. So he's the real... Isn't that the real name of the guy? And then this is the character name. What a great connection. Yeah, so basically, it's Eric Matthews'
poor Eric.
Final test trap when he's confronted with everything. You know how some of the characters have their final set of traps?
He's about to meet fucking world.
Is Mr. Feeny.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Feeny is Jigsaw.
Topanga is Topanga.
Hello, Mr. Matthews. Mr. Matthews, you haven't turned in your history report.
So, between, Martin, who do you want to go first? Do you want John or do you want Hugh?
Who went first, last one?
Went first, last one was the Wet Bandits, actually, on that
so
one.
So it's you. Okay,
so
that's
me. Mike, you'll go first.
All right, so...
Show him your huge ass.
So my huge ass states that we've seen him get eaten by a bear.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be able to get to use that with the bear trap thing.
Not today.
But not today. So, but we know that the man survived being chased out of his camp by an indigenous tribe. We then know that he survived... being attacked by a bear while trying to hunt for food.
So, how do we escape this trap again?
Oh, this is the trap where you have to admit, like, this is the one where Eric
Matthews you confess.
You confess.
Okay.
So I have to confess that I was trading pelts to somebody else. Now,
and John Connor confesses that he wanted his friend to fuck his mom?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Works perfect.
Okay,
it's
great.
A confession trap. So we have Hugh, who has an indigenous son throughout the story. I really do feel that aspect of his life would make him confess to get out of it.
He's got something to live for.
He's got something to live for. He's tied to the community. It's part of his story. He could go the distance with it because the man was eaten, then had to traverse through the winter wilderness and throw his
body.
He's
been cold.
He's been cold. Cold is not something that's a problem for him. So in comparison to this, I'm actually feeling a little bit more lucky that cold is not a problem for Hugh. Confession is a problem for Hugh, right? So if Hugh's willing to confess that what he had done against maybe his mother was murdered.
It just comes down to that.
He finds out that, you know, his son, the reason his wife was murdered by that tribe he's trading with, let's say, right? So I think there's more of an emotional connection for this to happen than Eric Matthews has with his son, who, if I remember correctly,
it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, he's in the box the whole time.
Yeah,
and
he was right there the whole time.
Exactly. So I feel with the familiar connection to family and it being less about having to strength your way out and more about honor your way out.
Yeah,
because that's really what a saw trap is at the end of the day. Hugh Glass is gonna kick John's ass.
I mean, listen, I'm sure John Connor has plenty of robot-related war crimes he could confess to. I'm sure he's done a lot of fucked up things. I'm sure he's taken a lot of robot souvenirs off of robot dead bodies. I don't think he has shame, though. So this isn't something that you can, like, he's not going to struggle with because
war,
he doesn't feel bad about it.
It's the price of war.
And he knows he is the chosen one. He cannot die here. He has to keep going, and I think he knows that. So confessing to whatever he did, I think he could easily accomplish that. I think he would have no problem saying it. These are robots. They aren't people. I think he would be fine. It's just like Westworld. It doesn't matter. You could do whatever the fuck you want to these robots. They aren't going to remember. You can kill James Marsden 100 times. I don't think John Connor will have an issue confessing to any of the bad shit he's done.
Yeah, altruistically, he's out.
He's out.
Right, where Hugh is done. Yeah, so he's got more courage. He's got more in his sack, I guess, because it's
fights
like,
in war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, you've got a man who was attacked by a Kodiak. Do you guys remember the scene?
Like, yeah. No, what happened?
Like he was
there's a bear in that movie?
Yeah, there's a big old bear.
Oh.
And the bear he shoots the bear comes and attacks him, then runs away, and then when he tries to get the gun again, he gets attacked again. It's like a 2-for-1 for that fucking attack. Like, I don't think if confession is what has to get Hugh out.
That might be tough.
I think he's getting out.
He's a noble man. He's not one to.
Yeah, but it has to do with his son.
Yeah,
it's good war point. Crimes against family versus war crimes in general.
You made it about his son.
it about robots. Martin, what are you making it about?
I mean, like I said, tough one.
tough one.
But I think I got to say this. When you said, I think his determination, like John Connor's determination, is the deciding factor, I think. He's the chosen one.
He's the chosen one. He has here. To.
Yeah.
And I mean, he knows that he's not going
to
die.
He's going to do what it takes to get out.
I just want to say for the record that if someone does say that that's somewhat of a superpower, no, it's not. We already talked about superpowers before the show. Those are things where, like, you can change matter with your mind and, like...
Not plot armor.
Not, yeah, not plot armor. So, like, I mean, yeah.
Because Mr. Bean's got plot armor.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. That's how he made it so far.
If anybody's got fucking plot armor, it's Mr. Bean.
No, okay. Yeah, I'll concede.
So is that it's a Charles versus
John Connor
Charles?
Is the chosen one.
It's Charles in charge, baby.
Charles is in charge.
Charles in charge of our days and our lives.
So it's Mr. Bean versus John Connor in the final. So
depending on what the
Charles
last draft is,
he did.
So Martin, first of all, who do you want for which category? Which one?
You guys can pick. What do you guys?
Well, you do Bean. I'll do.
Sounds good.
John Connor. Let's just keep going that way.
We've taken him to the final.
We've already lost.
Yeah. Who thought we'd be here? Right. Like, what the fuck?
He just outpicked us.
And listeners, stay tuned. We're gonna throw.
Read a couple of years out there. Yeah. If you sent in a suggestion, we got a few of them.
So we've got now with Hugh out. We've got Reverse Bear Trap or Steam Maze.
Martin.
Let's do the Steam Maze.
Steam Maze. Ooh, all right.
Like fun one. Okay. Hot, spicy.
So, Steam Maze.
I could see Mr. Bean getting fully naked for this.
Yeah.
He's going to come up with a 10. Yeah. So the trap, it was in the third of a series of tests. It was located in the boiler room of an abandoned Rowan Zoological Institute.
That's
where they keep Mr. Beans. That's where the Mr. Beans of the world are kept, in the Rowan Zoological Institute.
Jimmy.
This fucking round was meant for me.
Not too late to be a pirate.
The room itself was divided into two levels. The first person tested in the trap was chained to a wall on the lower floor. A device was strapped to the victim's chest, which would be activated after 90 seconds and thereby shoot a pointy metal rod through the test subject's head.
Jesus.
Once the game began, the victim had to progress through a passage leading to the other side of the room. The way was enclosed by a cage, giving the victim little room for movement. To survive, the test subject had to rely on the help of a second person who was standing on the catwalk above. At two points in the first victim's passage, there were two small tunnels which the victim had to crawl through. So it's like...
So who's John Connor's second person? Because you get Teddy.
Well, sure.
Kyle Reese?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say Kyle Reese. This is that timeline.
Kid Kyle Reese, like his son.
Shit.
Like a little kid.
But here's what happens. They were, however, blocked by steam coming from a row of pipes with high pressure. So at two points in the victim's passage, there were two small tunnels the victim had to crawl through. In those small tunnels, steam was blasted in.
Yeah.
So think of like a mouse maze, essentially, with steam coming into certain points of the room. If you don't get out,
it's going
to
melt you.
A metal bolt goes through your head.
Lovely.
Yeah. So it's a steam burn, essentially.
So who are you putting in the cage and who are you making crawl through the tunnels?
I'm putting Teddy in the cage because we got out of the back trap.
And he's not going to be able to crawl through the tunnels.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, no. Like, we'll put a string on Teddy for sake of argument.
You know, the steam is just going to blow out the stuffing and his hair. It's not going to be good after.
I have a perfect argument for that. Okay. So Mr. Bean will be the one helping. And then obviously Kyle Reese will be
in the chair and John Connor will be crawling through the tunnels.
Okay. Through the tunnels. All right. Martin, which Charles character would you like to go first? Who's in
let's
charge?
Go with, let's see what John Connor has to say.
All right.
I mean, this just sounds like a war type scenario for John. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this doesn't sound like anything he would have to deal with. Like, you're telling me robots and there's not going to be steam in that universe? There's not going to be steam in the Cybernet universe that he has had to go through? I'm sure he's so used to being steam blasted in the face.
Cyberdyne Systems got steam removed from the future.
Oh, shit. I thought they were more cyberpunk.
There was some steam in that movie.
There was.
That's what I mean. Steam vent. Like, anytime they're in, like, one of those robot factories, there's always, like, steam shooting off into different directions. So I'm sure this is something that John Connor is very used to feeling. And
that weight does not hold water. Go on. There's steam in the room. It will be okay.
He's dealt with steam before. Like, he's the chosen one, man. Like, he's not going to let his father-son die in that chair. He's going to figure this out. He's going to get him out of there because he has to,
or
he won't be born.
Because now he has to save himself.
He won't be born if it doesn't happen.
This is his mom, not Kyle.
If you
he
fail,
has to save Kyle so for him to survive.
He's got to save Kyle or he won't live. He'll just disappear, however it works. He'll hold a picture out in front of him and he'll fade away like his brother and sister.
Martin, I'm quoting you. There's an asterisk on that point in this argument. Without Kyle, there is no John. Yes, that's obvious. That doesn't count as an argument towards the cause.
You want a legend, Michael. You can put an asterisk wherever you want.
Being from the future is not a superpower.
It's just a time malfunction.
Hey, Charles picked it, not me. I'm just going with the strengths of John Connor and Kyle Reese.
This is by the seat of my pants.
They know where they're going to die.
You want more time? Or
I'm great.
You're great? Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Bean, we've got a little string attached to Teddy. So, like, he just has to time these right? Now, to your steam conversation, what is a stuffed animal but a little tiny thing made of fabric with a personality for a television episode?
He's got a tag that says, do not steam clean.
Shut up! Fuck, I did set that up too well. Yeah. No, I was going to say, this is just a day at the dry cleaners for Teddy, right? Like,
he's going to come out fresh.
He's going to come out fresh, zestfully clean.
Teddy.
So cold and soft. I even think that at certain points where he can't get Teddy around a corner, Mr. Bean will just, like, you know how, like, when he does stuff, say for example when he bends over and then, like, a gunshot goes off and the bullet goes over his head and he timed it right, but then, like, lifts his legs up for something and then something goes under. That's the kind of scenario we're gonna have where
he can't be hurt,
right? Like, if he does get hurt, it will be in the slightest of smallest ways.
It'll be on his butt.
It'll be, you know, he'll have the steam burn on his butt. Maybe he'll get too, like,
he's so sweaty. That's what I was saying. He's gonna end up in his underwear and wife beater by the end of
but
it.
But then he'll look in the mirror and be like, oh, my complexion, right? Because he'll have had a steam bath.
Socks and shoes still on.
Yeah,
picture him treating it like a sauna.
That's
he's just got a towel on and he crawls into the tunnel.
He's completely oblivious to the fact that, and he's just like, why won't Teddy come into the sauna? Like, I just, again, besides being a hapless idiot and always finding his way out, I think he would find comfort in this somehow and switch it to his benefit.
That's what he does. He's always on the positive side.
Exactly. He's a glass fully full, even
too full, perhaps.
Possibly too full.
He never said when.
No, he just keeps
lets
going.
The poor go.
I mean, the first episode I ever saw is the one that still lives with me, which is the Christmas episode with the turkey.
Yeah.
And that is such good, pure, simple comedy that I feel that it's just.
That's why he could survive a saw trap.
That's why he could survive a saw trap.
He had his head in a turkey's ass.
That's a lot of figuring out.
In a huge ass.
Huge ass.
Huge ass was in the last round. He's not allowed to be used in this argument portion. I truly think that no matter what happens to Bean, Bean comes out on top. Everything's coming up Bean. Bean, Bean, Bean.
I can't argue against that. Everything comes up Bean. He could have been strapped to the chair and Teddy could have been doing the machine stuff. And I think Bean still would have won. Something would have happened with the machine, some sort of malfunction, and he would... Like, the metal thing that's supposed to hit his head would hit his, like, whatever was restraining
him. It would just work out.
It would.
I think it's got to be Mr. Bean.
Yep, I agree. I thought he was going to be the number one pick from the start, and it just, he's unbeatable for this.
Yeah, you can't. He's domino, but not domino, you know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Do I get half a point?
No.
That I brought him all the way to the end for Charles? Like, Charles wasn't here.
These were just great picks. There's nothing we can do about
it. How does this happen? How is it that Mr. Bean survives all saw traps on a Saturday afternoon in March? How is that?
Survives and wins.
Right? Takes it all the way to the end. Fuck. Well done, Charles. I mean, I helped you, buddy. So
it was a big win for Charles this week.
Buy me a cheeseburger at the movies or something.
He's not even here.
I know he's not.
Once again, another bracket where Jimmy does not win.
Yep. No, these aren't yours.
Someday.
Bud. These aren't yours. So the last couple episodes, we've started to get some fan traction, and we really appreciate it.
There's actually a few. So I've got one from Val, friend of the show, came out, helped us decorate with the Krampus Christmas
she
night.
She did.
She says, John Locke or John Loesch from Lost?
John Locke. Yeah, because he doesn't feel anything past his waist.
And Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
I do love my... Wait, are we talking Sarah Michelle Gellar? Are we talking,
yeah, we're talking Sarah Michelle.
Silverstone?
Yeah, Sarah. No. Yeah, we're going Michelle Gellar, I believe.
We are. Yeah, that's.
I would have accepted either one. Is it Christie Brinkley? Who was the original Buffy?
Christie Brinkley was the original Buffy.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't. The movie.
Yeah.
The movie's not Christie Brinkley. What the fuck's her name?
I gotta look it up. I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Look it up. So I also had.
You read one.
Yeah, let me read one here.
Christy Swanson.
That's it, Christy Swanson. BJ Vero, old school buddy of mine from high school, stuntman BJ Vero, who's done the show. He thought MacGyver for hands-on skill traps.
That's good.
Right?
That's a good choice.
A guy who can build a trap out of a paper clip and some
face
chewing gum.
Face death in the face.
Right?
Yeah. Dear MacGyver, here is a pen, a paper clip, and a rubber band. Please save my family.
And then we also had...
He smashed himself in the face.
We also had Sherlock.
I forgot about that one.
But Cumberbatch is Sherlock.
I like that one. That's a good one. The TV just, series, right?
I had a Sherlock suggestion as well.
Powers of deduction, being able to kind of, you know, like...
Mine was a Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock
suggestion. Sure, yeah. And which one?
Sherlock, either way, I think is a good one.
Nate, show lover. Nature Nate. Nature Nate thought Edna Mode. From
Edna Mode's a great choice.
That's from
The Incredibles.
The Incredibles, Edna
Mode. The costume designer.
And then
that
also
is a great pick.
Ace Ventura made the list as well too. We have
just another failing upwards kind of guy. I could see him doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Darcy Waite's suggestion of Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down. just a refusal to give up from that guy.
Val threw me some too. She picked Elle Woods and also Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs. I mean, that woman walked around without night vision goggles and found Buffalo Bill.
That's a good point.
Right? She's used to being around depraved psychos. No fear on that woman.
We've got a Jack from 24, Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer?
Oh, Jack Bauer.
Yeah, but he can't yell, put the gun down. There's no gun involved in any of these.
It's a country in one. Everybody against China in one.
Yeah, he's got the Saw has to be a country. It can't just be...
Not with that attitude.
That's all I have. What else do you have?
Let's see, Walter White from Breaking Bad, from Carly.
Because
that's
he's
going to
sell some meth? And what's this? Is it Heisenberg?
Like, we did get a Mike Ehrman Trout.
Anyway, so.
Somebody just said John Rambo.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, Barry, I really think would do quite well in this.
Barry is a sociopath who likes to kill.
Exactly.
So he's got the mind of someone who would want to do this.
I could see him. Yeah, he would do a very good job.
There is always a way out, even outside of, I think, the way that, like, if you really, maybe we should get an engineer on the show and be like, what trap could you truly survive?
Huh.
Right?
Discuss the actual built trap and how that would work and if they could assemble one for us.
Fuck, this was fun. Martin, thanks for being such a good sport and judging the whole thing.
It's nice to see you lose.
Yeah, it's also nice to see you not in the end so many times.
We did it.
Michael, put an asterisk on this episode.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Asterisks. We're just going to make a t-shirt with an asterisk on it. I would like to say...
That's good branding.
That's really good branding. Listener, I would like to say to you that if you have a choice in the matter, Jimmy and me and Martin would love to hear it and talk about it on the next episode. So in the show notes, there's a link to our voicemail and our Quora. If you want to use either of those, you can ask a question or you can leave a voicemail.
We'll play it on the show.
You don't have to leave your last name if you don't want to. You can hide behind a pseudonym, come up with whatever screen name you want.
Dixie Normus.
Yeah, Dixie Normus, huge ass.
Huge ass.
Right?
Huge ass. I'm huge ass.
Amanda Hug and Kiss, like whatever you want. Anything from The Simpsons would do, because I won't know about
I'm a
it.
Big butt. My butt's big and it smells.
Yeah, big. I have a huge butt. Big butt. But yeah, we want to play it on the show, so do that if you're so inclined.
All the butts.
If you have an idea for another bracket for us that you'd like to do as well, too, you can answer at the Quora page. You can send us a voicemail for it. We'll take it into consideration and give you props for it. It's a lot of fun to be a part of stuff like this. Jimmy, is there anything else I'm forgetting?
No.
Nice.
The answer I was looking for. I was ready to give more, but okay.
I don't think so.
That being said, listener, thank you again for tuning into another episode. If this is your first time, the easiest way to support the show is just subscribe. We've got a lot of monetary ways that if you want to and if you can, feel like buying a t-shirt or donating to the cause, that stuff just goes back into making the show better for you. But if you can't, that's no big deal. We're fine. We're all fine here. We got lots of cuckoos.
Or everyone just email Blue Chews and have them sponsor the real
Yeah, if you did that, that'd be even better.
I want to buy you guys, but I just don't have a promo code for it. And here's a podcast that I like. You should have them to give you a promo code for it.
The realdebaters.bluechew. Big rock hard moment of the show. That could be inspired by
That's too
by
long
you.
Of a promo code.
It is too long of a promo code. It's a lot of typing. But the point is that if you just can subscribe to our brand of comedy and our method of madness here and how we talk about cinema, that is the best thing you can do.
It keeps us going.
Keeps us going inside of our souls as well as literally in the game of podcasting. So
we're the number two in Canada.
We are the number Winnipeg.
Canada.
Sure.
As far as the United goes,
that's very true. I've been Michael.
Jimmy.
out in Vancouver.
I'm the Pirate Martin.
Yar.
We've been your Real Debaters, listener. Tune in next week for another episode. Watch all the movies. Say bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
If you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.